Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you?
Jordan, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Watched a little golf this weekend. Watch.
Yeah, exciting.
Like, I watched some replays of the Dubai tournament, but it comes on at like, it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I'm like, that's just not going to fly.
Ain't got no time for that.
I'm an old man. I need to go to bed. And they usually do a replay in the morning on the Golf Channel, but they did not do that.
Oh.
They just played the main one. So, well, I mean, they did, I think the first 2 days they did, but then they switched over and started showing replays of the prior round of the Farmers. But the Dubai tournament, they did get started off with a little bit of heat. Well, manufactured heat. Manufactured heat. And I think, who was it? I think it was guy in the PGA Tour where he just hammered the media and said, you basically took this thing, it was a little pebble, and you're like, oh my gosh, this boulder is rolling down the cliff.
Some PGA Tour player, I forgot who it was. That's how insignificant it was, to be honest. And he kind of flipped out about it, but you know, that's what Twitter's for. Speak your mind, or however you want to speak it.
No, he was saying that the media blew it out of proportion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it was, I think it was John Suh is who said it. He's like basically, the media sucks. They overblow everything. It's all about getting eyeballs, whether it's right or not.
You know, that's media has not been in a good light for some time in general, but then to just wrap on the golf media like that, it's like, ooh, maybe he's got a point.
he's got a point. I mean, it was like, you watch it and I'm like, what happened? I'm like, because I didn't see it at first. I'm like, so what actually happened? Right.
Yeah.
And he went over, and my guess is Patrick Reed being Patrick Reed, he was like, well, I'm going to do this. And if not, you know, I'm gonna flick a tee, and he may have had it all planned out. He's like, then they'll jump on it because he's their golden child.
I won't give him that much credit.
Okay. Because he plays better when he's cast in that light. And he may have been like, hey, I know that Rory's gonna snub me, and it's in the And my guess is, even if he just snubbed him, that they would have just ran with it and been right. Rory snubs Patrick Reed's greeting, but Patrick flicked a tee. Like, not even, you could see that he flicked it so that it wasn't going to hit him. It was just going to land by his balls. And it was a LIV Golf tee. So it was kind of a little smack at him, and
it was the dumbest thing, to be honest. Like, I didn't even care. Yeah, they blew it up. It turned into, like, you sent me that hashtag Teagate. So, like, really, is this where we're at? Like, and the reality is this: Patrick Reed is the guy in the group that thinks he's funny, but he's not. And so he just does a ton of fun or things that he thinks funny, just a bunch of garbage in the hopes that he gets some laughs that land, right? Because that's what he's aiming for. And he's not funny ever. And he walks away as an afterthought. Oh, I should throw him one of my live tees. And he turns around and he tosses it so he can see the logo. And Rory's like, dude, nobody likes you. Just walk away.
And he
Yeah,
was just,
and then obviously
and it was just,
they're
it was,
coworkers, but not you, just because you're coworkers doesn't mean that you get along.
and it's there, and they're like, well,
Every engagement with Patrick Reed is just awkward, so you got to expect it.
that, they just keep, they're defectors, right? It's, you're a defector. Like that term gets thrown around. It's like
Yeah.
they just left a job, right? And yes, he's like him. Yeah, no one's needs to talk to him, but it's like, okay, these other guys that aren't part of the lawsuit, I'm pretty sure that they're trying to make it a, well, if you're for a company and this company's suing that company, you're not going to talk to them. I'm like, no, if I've got a friend that's working for another company and that company's suing the company that I'm working with, I'll still talk to them. Like it's like, right, even if I
Yeah.
left for the, I just left for the other company, right? It's, you're still going to
Yeah.
talk to them. But they, there's some guys on the PGA Tour, and a lot of this is coming from the top, I believe, that you just, they've demonized them so much that it's just stupid. It's just
Well,
stupid.
they, yeah, the guys from the top have to continue that because that's what they said before. So it's like the only way they can feel like they have moral stability in their statements is if they stand by what they said, right? Even though it was moronic. And the news outlets are like, oh, anytime we can pit LIV against PGA, oh, we're going to do it. And it's going to be great media and people are going to eat it up because that's how we sell. And that's just the nature of the beast. I mean, turn a what is it? An ant mound into a molehill, and that's it. So, it's just dumb.
It's really stupid. And then, like I said, and I still think, right, that after the second round, Rory and Patrick Reed were tied. They were at the same time that they teed off, and this is, I thought they teed off at the same, they teed off at the same time. I thought they teed off together because I was thinking it was the third round for whatever reason, but they had some weather delays and stuff like that. That kept it from there. So they were on opposite tees, but they teed off at the same time. They ended up at the same number after the round. And from the little bit of digging I did, I think they bumped one person up and bumped Patrick Reed down so that they didn't have Rory and Patrick playing together in that third round. Which,
Yeah.
like, I mean, come on, what more could you there? You would have guys staying up for that, right? You got Patrick Reed and Rory in the same group. You could just have it on that group all day just to see, like, so you could fill the ice. And like it would
Yeah.
have just, I mean, you could have sold it like that, but are there, I, my guess is they're like, oh, we have, like, they're not gonna come to blows, bro. It's not, that's not gonna happen.
They just don't like each other. But again, nobody likes Patrick Reed. So,
There, yes, this is true.
Patrick Reed is
And
more likely to get in a fight with himself and throw punches at himself.
I just don't, neither of those guys, right? Rory acts like a tough guy, but He's the tough guy that hold me back, hold me back. He'd be that
Patrick
guy.
Reed could fall. He could fall on Rory McIlroy, and Rory would get injured.
Yes. I
Like,
mean,
he's 5'9", 145 pounds. Like, I mean.
yeah. But Rory would be the guy, right? Patrick Reed, they'd both be the guy. Like, Patrick would be like, come on. And Rory'd be like, oh, I'm going to get him. And then he'd grab somebody, put him in front of him, and be like, hold me back. Yeah, neither one of those guys would want to get in that, right? It's
Yeah,
all about it's about the attention.
they're professional golfers, not MMA fighters.
Yeah. Rory
But
just wants.
good golfers, they're really good golfers, is what it turns out to be.
Yeah. And so that whole thing, and then the media's like, well, what happened? And then Rory comes out and goes, well, I wouldn't want to talk to the guy either. He subpoenaed me on Christmas Eve. And whether that's actually true, or whether Rory got subpoenaed for the LIV Golf Antitrust on Christmas Eve, or it was it one of Reed's many the individual lawsuits, who knows? But they played it up and they talked about it for 4 3 days going into the first round out of that.
Yeah.
So good for them. They got eyeballs from somebody and they're getting us to talk about it. So there you go. But more pertinent to the whole Reed saga is on hole number 17, Mr. Patrick Reed hits the ball and it goes in the direction of a palm tree. And at that time does not come down either. So he has to take a drop. And it's that, and it makes says it's in the tree. Yeah, it had to have been the third round then. It was the third round. I'm just looking at it. So yeah, he has to drop. So he hits it in a palm tree. Doesn't look like it comes down, but the palm tree that he looks at and says that his ball's in. Didn't look to be the palm tree that it actually went in. And you obviously, if you're going to claim it that it's that you can get relief from an unplayable lie, you have to identify your ball. He does, and with his the rules official, he declares that that's his ball, that that's his markings. The official grants him relief, looks at it and says, yes, that's your ball. So I don't know. It's just a
Yeah,
long, it's just
it's,
in the long list of questionable
you
things that
know,
he did, but it goes into a palm tree, right? He's going to get relief. He's probably going to make the same score. I don't think that's as egregious as some of the things that he's done, right? It does go in there. There was a Callaway in there that he said was that had his markings on it. But like I said,
yeah, it. I mean, what we're looking at is either it's an unplayable lie at that point, or it's an unplayable lie 15, 20 yards back.
yes.
You're still getting pretty penalized. But at the same time, if he identifies his ball, and the ref agrees, ref,
The rules
rules
official,
official agrees,
ref, whatever, you know.
then that is, and he confirms it, then that's it. Like, you call a rules official over and go say, hey, this looks like ground affected by an animal. There's an ant hill here. Oh, where's the ants? Here's the ants. Okay, you get relief. like rules officials have to make decisions and they have to do that. And once they make that decision, it's the rules of golf and it's in play and it's in effect. I mean, it's just different. We're used to like the NBA where it's like, that was a really bad call, but they're going to do a makeup call in the next possession. Oh, see, they made it up. Like, what kind of reffing is that? Like, so it's just that stuff. Like, you're going to get it across everywhere. And as a player, you've got to take every advantage that you can, right? And you got to use the rules to your advantage. And we don't know if Patrick Reed was lying about his ball or not. We can make some assumptions, but he said he identified it and the ref identified it, and there it is. So,
He's
but
and my guess is he said, this is my mark, and the ref looked up and goes, yep, that is your mark, and
yeah.
you're granted relief.
Yeah. Because, I mean, look at the risk, right? The risk is this. He gets a lost ball. He can't find it, and he has to go re-tee. And that's even like an extra stroke penalty. I had a similar situation. I was playing in the Salt Lake Open up at Bonneville. I can't remember what hole it was. This was par four going up north. And I pulled my drive left and hit a little draw and landed right in this bare tree. I mean, this tree was so barren, you could throw a bucket of balls at it and it would just fall to the ground. But my ball didn't come down. I was like, what the heck? And then I saw an eagle's nest up there. So I literally climbed like 25 feet up in the air and I pulled my golf ball out of an eagle's nest because I'd have to go re-tee it as a lost ball. So I shimmied up there, found it, identified it, and got a drop. But that's the rules of golf. You gotta do that. But if you have binoculars and you see it, well then there you go.
Yeah, like I said, it comes with his past. The questions come with his
Yeah.
past. And you've had a couple of them, right? The thing about it is Tiger Woods has had two or three questionable drops that he's been like called on, but they're like, I can see where
It's
he's,
Tiger.
it's Tiger. I can see where he's doing this. And there's been a couple of other ones that have done similar things. But they haven't had the past of Patrick Reed. With your past comes the perception. So that's
And
it.
like here's a unique rule, right? So anytime you get a drop, you now drop it from knee height, within a marked area, no closer to the hole. Well, you can drop the ball on the line. And if it goes forward, then you need to redrop it. Oh, it's closer. And you can drop it again on the line. And if it goes forward again, guess what? You get to pick it up and place it now.
Except for they did
You
change that rule on
did they?
the back from the pin where you take the a drop that keeps the entry point in the pin and you go back, it can now bounce forward just as long as it doesn't it
Yeah,
within a club
if
length
it's
they
a
can bounce.
yellow. Yeah, if it's a yellow.
Well, they're just hazards now.
There's
You
all
need to
hazards.
get you need yeah you need to get touched up on your rules of golf, man. They've made
Oh,
changes.
yeah. They made some changes.
Made
And
some
the thing
changes.
is, like, things like that were very legal and within the rules. But if you, like, looked at it, you'd be like, is this guy cheating? I'm like, no.
No, but
But,
you used to, no matter where you drop from, if it bounced forward, even if
yeah.
you took it back, you had to there. Now it just
Yeah.
gives you a circular
Yeah.
area
Yeah.
within a
So
club length. But it's like,
just
you look at a couple things and people take, right? John Rahm, round one, hits it in like that rough was nasty at Torrey Pines. It was
yeah.
net. So he hits it up back left over a green, tries to get cute with it, leaves it, but it gets ends up in a sprinkler head. But he takes advantage of the rule, no closer, and then he ends up on the fringe. Right. So he goes from if it doesn't get in that, right? If there's no sprinkler head, he's got another dicey short chip out of the junk to a downhill pin that's like running away, because I think he still knocked it like 4 feet behind his putt
Yeah.
because he got aggressive. So it's like, use the rules to your advantage. Don't take advantage of the rules. Use the rules to your advantage is the term that I've always
Yeah.
been taught.
That's
So,
true. That's true. And if you do take advantage of the rules and they see a pattern, then they change the rules.
yep, exactly. So, yeah, like I said, it's there. And it's all, like I said, past his perception for Patrick Reed, whether it's warranted at times or not. But
But anyways, yeah, Rory, I mean, he actually ends up winning, so that
yep.
was pretty bomb.
Yeah. Patrick Reed tried to catch him. Rory birdies the last two holes because he is, with where Reed was, I think Reed teed off like two groups behind him. So at this point, he was down. Let's see. Let's look at this. No, he was in the group right in front of him. So they, as Reed finishes, he is tied at that point. So he's tied, leaving
Yeah.
the 18th green, and Rory birdies it. But Rory was, I think they were tied, and then Rory birdies 17 to go one up. And then Reed birdies to tie it. And then, yeah. And then McIlroy birdies the 18th to win, right? Which is what he should have done. Although he about hit it in the water, it looks like. Because I actually did see his,
It was pretty close.
it was close. So I don't know. We, like, say we'll see where this goes, right? Whether, you know, Rory has won a lot of these tournaments, but he has had a tendency to kind of give it away, and he about did
He
give it
almost
away.
did. He almost did. I mean, Patrick Reed had a great final round, minus seven, to really put himself in a position. Whether you love or hate the guy, most people hate him, but Patrick Reed is one heck of a golfer to be at that position to press Rory. So,
Yeah.
yeah, he definitely needed those two birdies down the stretch to get her done.
He needed those two birdies, and Tyrrell Hatton on 18 in the second round cost himself 3 G's. Not because he did something bad, it's because he did something good.
Yeah, he was said it was the worst eagle he'd ever had in his life, which is kind of funny because most people live their whole life hoping to get an eagle, and he's on the last hole on the round two, and he just drains this bomb of an eagle putt, and he made the cut, which required him to change his flights.
And it was a, so wait, in round three? So was he gonna go, so Eagles in round three?
Was that the was it round two or is it, he it was to make the cut. That's the news flash that I heard, but
So he birdies. The Eagles. I don't know. Maybe they had enough people make the cut that they, but I don't think they did any. Oh no, they did. There was, yes, he thought he was going to be going home
yeah.
because there are, it looks like there's one, two, three, four, five guys that went home after three rounds. So it was kind of that, whatever they call it, when you there's too many players. Yeah. So
It's like a
after,
forced, you get paid, but you gotta
finish
take a
or
hike.
de yeah, paid but did not finish or whatever. It's a weird little thing, but yeah, so they, I mean, he still would have done it, but yes, so it cost him 3 G's, whether that's 3,000 pounds or $3,000. So he would have made like 12,300 pounds, right? 12,300 pounds. He ended up, because he shot a pretty good
Final round
final
was
round.
solid.
So where did he move up to? Tyrrell Hatton. He ended up making 47,000.
Not too
So
bad. So
he covered his expenses.
yeah, he netted the positive. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy. You're like, I mean, you got a guy that's like, oh yeah, looks like I'm going home. And like, obviously he booked his flight before, which
Yeah, he must have just felt like his game was what maybe like the turn. They're like, yeah, get the flights.
yeah,
I
booked.
can totally see Terrell doing that.
Yeah, he's like walking by his somebody that's there, and he's like, yeah, book him, Dano.
Yep. And then he doesn't look, I mean, he shoots even on the front, and then he goes birdie, birdie, bogey, bogey. So he's even by 16. And he's like, let's get out of here. Like so pissed at his game. Then he eagles 18. And then he's like there for one more day and shoots five under and puts himself at, 38th place. So pretty funny.
It's crazy. So
I love him.
it is, he's interesting. He keeps it interesting for sure.
Yep.
Oh, well, let's come back over to the States. Go to the West Coast.
Yes.
West Coast is the best coast. I don't know. That's
Yeah,
what they
Max
say.
Homa getting it done at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, it comes from five back over. Like Phil was pretty on fire with the tweets this week,
Oh, yeah.
because he tweeted about Sam Ryder and Sam Ryder's joggers.
Oh, yeah. The shorts
The
jogger,
shorts
whatever.
jogger, whatever. And I'm like, right. So Sam Ryder had a four shot. No, they're a two shot lead, right? Because he had just two shots on John Rahm.
Yeah, he's in a good spot.
He's in a good spot. Like, but that group. So that group, final group, Sam Ryder, John Rahm, Tony Finau, are a total of six over for
Oof.
the final round. And
Yeah.
considering, right, Keegan has a really good day. He ends up in second. Max Homa, nice little 66 to win
Yeah.
by two, coming from five back. But I mean, you
Yep.
look at that and in there, right? It was playing tougher, but you have to get into T3 where somebody goes plus one. But that whole group is over par. It's
Yeah,
just,
the whole it's just bad mojo.
yeah, the whole group's like, come on. And Sam was staying away from it for the most part until number 15, where he hits a shot to the right, hits it out, and then just tries to get, I guess there was, he tried to get relief from something that he felt was like a drain, something, but hits just a, it comes out, his third shot comes out like a rocket over the green.
Yeah.
Chips up for his four shot. And misses the putt, makes him six, and then bogey 17. And Max seals it with a birdie on. Well, I don't even think he needed it at that point. He didn't need
He
a
didn't, but
birdie.
it was a gutsy play because I mean, 18 at
Pebble, sorry, Torrey,
Torrey
is just a beast of a par five. I think I'm already thinking next week.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, Torrey Pines par five, it's a beast. I mean, everybody knows what it is. And Max just, he poked a drive down there, but he still had 260 and change into the pin.
It's said 240, it said 242.
Did it say
at least
242?
On Shot Tracker? I've got it pulled
Shot
up.
Shot Tracker. Well,
but
maybe he hit his 7 wood 260 and change, because he did
yes.
Hit it center of the green and then up to the back edge.
Yeah, to the back edge, right? Which is,
yeah.
I mean, he was able to use a putter, so he's like, okay, I'm going to be able to cover this, no problem.
Yeah,
I'm in the fairway. I've been striping it all day, but I mean, I think the bigger thing is he birdies both par threes on the back, which yeah. Number 11 was just stupid. 213 yards, pin tucked.
Yeah,
right.
A best shot in there.
I mean, it just flags it, whether that's where he wanted to go, right? But I mean, I'm just going to watch the shot here again. I mean, he's got it, and it's just, I mean, it just, but he plays it smart, right? He hitting that little cut. So he's like, okay, if this cuts where I want it, it's stones.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, then I've got a 25, 30 footer from the green. And I mean, he doesn't have an easy putt down there and just drain him on that one. And then two after he makes his only bogey of the day, 16 just hits another just quality golf shot.
Yeah.
Right.
That, his long game was nails. So,
which on that one's a little, cause he plays a cut with a bunch of junk on the left, right? He's short sighted. If that thing doesn't cut,
that to me is a ballsy play.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's just like, I only hit cuts and you're just committed, and that's you, well, and that's it. But like,
well, and it was, he was just in there. But yeah, that one was tucked left. The other one was tucked. The other one played into his hands a little bit more, but this one didn't. But I think my guess is his feeling was, hey, right now I'm nils with my irons. It's going to cut. Mm-hmm. I have no question it's going to cut. So we're going to take it off this and move it in there. Yeah. But yeah, Ghost, 3 under on the par threes, which, like I said.
Yeah, of all the par threes out there, like Torrey par threes are pretty much just jail.
Yeah, especially the, like I said, the back nine ones, you go 213 and then 16 is 230. So, yeah, he just took four shots to finish or to close out two over 200 yard par threes with pins tucked. Just absolute stones, right? To think 3 years ago that you're going to be talking 4 years ago, man. So he's won twice this year. How many is he? I mean, when was his first win?
Currently, in the last 25 months, and that's won, just he's won the most.
He's won a lot.
He's won more PGA Tour wins than anybody else.
Yeah,
in the last 25 months. So
he has been
doing good.
Yeah, 2, 4, 6. Yeah, so since the 2018-2019 season, he's won 6 times. I mean, right? You're thinking, oh, but it's, yeah, he's been on fire the last little bit. 6 career victories, and he's been on tour since 2013, right? You're thinking, when he wins the Wells Fargo in 2000, that one's got to be the end of the year one. So that was probably 2018. But you're like, oh, solid player. Nope, he's good. Like,
yeah,
no, he's turned into solid. A really good player. 6 wins, and that puts you in pretty good company.
Yeah. No, right? His numbers this week were super solid. He ranked 9th for the week in strokes gained putting. So he's in the top 10 in putting the week. And then he was, let's see here. Oh, and he was strokes gained. He led the field in strokes gained in approach shots. So he basically was the best from fairway to green, rough to green, than anybody else. And so when you're the best ball striker that week, and then you're on top 10 in putting, that's a pretty good combo.
That's going to win you. We'll win you some tournaments, pretty sure. That's kind of how that works. But yeah, like I said, it's been pretty amazing because you think about where he was and you're like, wait a second, this guy's got 6 wins. He's just the Instagram or the Twitter.
Yeah.
Swing.
Super clever Twitter roaster.
Yeah. The swing roaster from Twitter. That's all he is, right? No. He's not that anymore. Dude's a.
He's a.
Golfer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Like. Played stones. Like I said, didn't look like. Right. It looked like. There for a while that Sam Houston was going to kind of keep up with him, but that didn't happen. That did not happen. Sam Ryder did his right, just had that hole, and it's what kind of wrecks a lot of people, right? You get the one hole, and it's not necessarily that he's a bad player, but it just you can't miss it in some spots, and
yeah,
it's one that he missed it in a spot where he was just in trouble after that.
Well, and I mean, in reality, like Max Homa shouldn't have birdied 3 par threes, like statistically, right?
No,
so
well, I actually do they have those stats? Sometimes they'll have their stats, sometimes they won't. I mean, to look at the average on those. My guess is he picks up half a shot at least on those holes.
1.5 shots.
It may be like one.
At least. But it's like you take 3 strokes away and there's a nice battle for first place between him and Colin and Keegan, right? So,
right.
It's pretty amazing to do that in the final round of birdie 3 par threes. Like, if you look at somebody for like the year, they're on the PGA Tour, they're over par on par threes, almost every one of them, with the exception of like when Tiger was doing Tiger things.
Right.
So that's just the reality. It's like everybody's about even with even or over on the par threes. Even or under on the par fours, and then a lot under on the par fives. And so statistically speaking, he's like he got 3 get out of jail free cards.
Right. And like, I don't know, there's got to be, let's see. No, but probably won't. Let's see. I'm going to try to see if I can find. The course, like hole by hole, they've got to have it somewhere. And I was going to look at this and see where it was, but
yeah.
Yeah, not Sure, of course. I'm sure I could find it. Forgot to look it up today because I was like, I wonder how many shots he gained on the field for those.
Yeah, it was hard to do it this week because they play two 18-hole courses, the North and the South, and they only set up shot tracking on the South.
Yeah, but
So,
I'm just saying just for those holes in general,
yeah, just
right?
those holes.
So
Yeah.
how many strokes did he gain on the field for the average for hole number 11? How many
Yeah.
did he do it
Well,
for?
it was a big deal because final weeks, strokes gained from tee to green was, him. He was the leader. So
Yeah.
probably on those alone, it bumped him up huge, but also gave him the strokes he needed to close the deal.
Yeah. You're making three of those. Three birdies
Yeah.
on those par threes. That's all right. You're doing okay. So it was just crazy, but crazy that he's on the run and that he is, right? You didn't, no one really saw this coming. You knew he'd be a solid player. He's always been a solid player, but he's putting together some really good stuff lately. But yeah, just on a side note, more shakeup at the top of the LIV. They had a couple more people within the last little bit leave the top. And we had a slight discussion, and it would be interesting to see the structure of the PGA Tour 2 years into it and how much it changed. You made reference to that there's times where it may just been time for them to go, where it's just like they came in to do one job and either that job happened and so they were able to step away, or that job didn't happen and now they're no longer needed because that, right, that's a phase of the business that they're not doing anymore, right? Which was some of it with the original couple of guys, that was one of them was over the franchises, and that was kind of their main part of it. This one, these two guys that left, it was like the marketing manager, and then let's see, and communications officer, right? And they could have just been, hey, we're not getting it out the way we want it. This is not the direction we want to go with this. Thanks for your time. You probably got paid a ton of money to do it, right? Because they were paying everybody. So it doesn't, I haven't heard any of these guys come out and say, Liv sucked. All right.
No, I mean, the reality is this, everybody thought Greg was going to take a step down and they're going to kick him out because things didn't happen the way they wanted, but
No,
turns out
he's
it's
like,
exactly what they wanted.
yeah, he's basically number two behind like the big guy.
And maybe it was, simply, all right, Greg, if we're going to do this with you, we need some bright minds. It's our decision, it's our money, but
Yeah.
you're going to have a lot of say. So come on in, let's do this. And then after the year, they're like, wow, Greg, you nailed this. You actually called everything exactly as it's supposed to be. Turns out, you should have a little bit more say in things, and we had our bases covered. So let's let go of whoever you want and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's what that sounds like.
So they're like, we're giving you the reins. Let's go. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, there's 14 tournaments now, right? They haven't done anything. LIV golfers are playing in more, they're playing in some Asian tour events coming up, starting this week. So I think while they're getting stuff worked out, they're like, okay, guys, go. We're gonna build up a pretty good field in this tournament, right? We're gonna build up a pretty good field in this tournament so you guys can keep getting your world ranking points while we do things that we need to do. So I don't know. It'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting to see. I'm interested to see what season two of Live Golf brings. It may suck, right? There's a possibility.
Yeah.
It may suck. It may be better, right? The CW, it, like I said, it gets eyeballs on it, right? People say that they're not going to watch, but it's a lot easier to be like, oh, I'm not going to log into YouTube and watch it. It's a lot harder when you're there anyway, and all you have to do is switch a channel and you've got it
yeah.
on. So
you're in every major package, and then it's free access yep. online via the web. It's app, just, yep. it's a ton easier, and it's now accessible to all. So bravo.
Yeah. So we'll see. But now, oh,
I know.
What? Wait, I just read that. Where did the Vokey tea is now for retail? Why?
Yeah.
Okay, I will say this. It's available for retail. You just have to special order.
Yeah.
So they're not releasing it per se, right? They're probably saying they are. But
the tea grind always came in the form of wedge works.
Yes. 90% of the guys do not need this wedge. Like, it doesn't need to be a retail option.
But it is. There's just enough. It's been a number one winning wedge. We can attest to that.
Yes.
Through like the years. And so the tee grind is something special. And it used to be in their traditional lineup about 12 years ago. And now it's back. So the tee grind available at your local stores, you know, your PGA Superstores and whatnot. But it comes in the form of SM9. Rather than Wedgeworks. So
right.
It is a standard in the lineup now, which is pretty cool. So if you guys want to experiment, get the taste for a wedge that the best in the world play because they have the best hands, you'll find out real quick what that means.
Yeah. Like I said, there's one thing I really like. Vokey wedges are great. They are great. I think their options at times can be too much, right? I think they should offer them, but I don't think they should be like just a regular retail. It's like, okay, we offer this, but it's just a special order, right? It's a Wedgeworks, mm-hmm. right? Somebody doesn't need, because which one, there's like the L grind, isn't the L grind that's the one that's like 4 degrees? I want to say.
Yeah. The L grind is a 6004.
But if they had the S, right? Like even the K, like, right? The D, the S, and the M. If you stuck with those three grinds, you would still be, they would still be the number one selling wedge.
Oh, yeah.
In the market.
Yeah, and the reality is the other ones, the T and the low bounce K and the M are what's mostly played on tour, at least in the 60-degree range.
Yeah.
But all of these are played on tour with great frequency even then. But, yeah, I don't know. They're the same reason, you know, like people just want to play what the tour players have. And if they offer it, people are going to buy it. Like,
why this make is true. Money? Like I said, I don't think they need it. I feel that it would be better for the consumer if they didn't have access to it.
Because yeah. Well, you know, you're the golf teacher in you is getting in the way of the capitalist, and you're like, just no.
I understand both of it. I understand both of it. I'm looking at the fact that people would be better golfers. They would spend more money this way, but they would be better golfers if they didn't have access to that, because they're going to try to hit that and then they're going to suck with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's my piece.
Yeah, it's still, still something they released, but Titleist isn't done yet. They also released the new 2023 Pro V1 and Pro V1 X to the general public, which was received incredibly well last year at in South Carolina. So it's a good ball. Max Homa used it to win. People have been saying good things, but I mean that's the whole point. Titleist has one of the smartest release cycles for product. They release a ball every 2 years because they have determined, and I totally see the logic behind it. It takes about 2 years for materials to have enough advancement for them to be able to improve on design. Because
Right.
it's not that they're fighting the design. It's that the design is easy. It's then matching the materials to do what the design is supposed to do at a cost-effective approach, right?
Right.
So it if you can't create that golf ball without making it $80, then that's not a good matchup. So but they've got a good thing going for them. They're able to reduce the spin a little bit off the tee and made the Pro V1 X supposedly a little bit softer. And yeah, I mean, it's already winning. And I think it won the first week it came in. And,
Yeah.
that's what it is. So,
It's
and then
crazy.
the last thing Titleist released is, well, Scotty Cameron, the Super Select. And so if you haven't had a chance to check these out, there are some key features in this putter. It was really interesting. One, they finally incorporated the I-beam design in the neck from the Tour Rats from like, I want to say 5 to 8 years ago. Tour Rats came out, and if you ever see a Scotty Cameron Tour Rat, the neck has a notch milled, a channel up and down on both sides. They call it the I-beam. And that just takes weight away from the neck. There's a lot of weight in the neck, and most putters are designed to accommodate for it. But if you want a perfectly balanced putter, you need to remove weight somewhere, and that is a
Right.
place where you can take it out. So you can do the I-beam and take weight out. And then the secondary place that they did was they used to have the donuts in the back of the cavity on the select.
Right.
Special select, but they took the donuts out. It's also faster and simpler production, so it costs less to make because more time on the CNC costs more money.
And there
So you
was
just mill
way
that out.
easier for us guys who like to take that out and change the
Oh, and
color of
repaint it. Yeah.
it.
In fact, they didn't even put paint in it because most people like to customize it anyway. So bravo to you guys. Makes it really easy on color changing. And then the last thing, which I thought was really interesting, is they wanted to make the face still have grooves, but make it flatter. So that it was really, they said they had a double mill pattern where they milled deep grooves on the first run and then they chopped the top on the second one, making it very flat.
Right.
And they said it's the most consistent face they've ever milled. But I'm a huge proponent of flat faces, if you know my gig. But
I do. Yes, it was the feel that you get off of just a smooth face is, yeah, it's a thing of beauty. So
Well, the best way I can explain it is you feel everything, which means when you pure it, you feel pure.
yes.
Like it's equivalent of hitting a metal bat. If you've ever played softball or anything, like when you hit that sweet spot, you know you hit it, and that's exactly what a smooth face putter does. So it'll be interesting to see how this one does feedback because there's other putters out there like your Rife or your insert with grooves. Like your TaylorMade ASGI inserts, all those things, you don't know where you hit it on the face. It
Right.
just it's all masked by the grooves, and there's a lot of science behind it, and I think that's great, but you don't know where you hit it. And to me, the most important thing you can do in putting is hit pure putts, because pure putts create pure roll. And if you
Yes.
can replicate that through field, then you're going to be at an advantage.
Yes, sir. If you could get a flat, but it's like I said, when you're mass producing them like they are, I don't like taking the time to get it to a flat face. Little bit tougher.
Well, and the problem is most people want to see that their putter is milled. They
Right.
don't want to be told. And if you have a milled face, it's one of the most beautiful things you can look at. And that's how you know you have a milled putter, is because it's milled.
The
And
milled
that's
face.
just, oh, look, it's milled. And it's an important aspect of putter making for sure. But with my putters, you don't know that it's milled. It's just all clean. And I wanted that for a reason.
The feedback is on it is amazing. So, big proponent.
But yeah, jumping into what's in the bags, we've got two. We're gonna kind of we'll go through them. We'll pick out the good stuffs, but
Yeah,
we'll start with Max Homa.
we've already talked about his golf ball. We've already talked about the
Yeah,
golf ball.
he actually just tested it like 2 weeks ago and decided to put it in the bag. So, that's pretty good change, for Max. But yeah, playing 2023 Pro V1, he's got the new TSR3 driver, and breaks goes against the grain here with the TSR3 three wood. Usually, we've seen the TSR2 models in the fairways, in the three and five or whatever variation you do. But in this circumstance, he does have the three wood as the three
He
series.
actually has
So.
a four wood, and then he goes to the TSR in the seven wood.
Yeah.
So he goes four wood, seven
TSR2
wood,
in the seven.
four
Yeah.
wood, seven
So
wood.
four
That
and
my guy.
seven.
That's my guy. I like
That
the
is
four
that's
wood,
the way
seven
to
wood
go.
combo.
It is. I'm gonna do it, and I'm not far off. I mean, I'm playing 15, 18
Right.
or 19. But the way the faces are made, they're so hot. You get really good ball flight numbers out of them. They get up in the air quick. They don't spin. I mean, there's so much that they've engineered into them now that
Yeah.
you can loft back, and it is consistent. I just love the fact they got seven woods and they're like killing it.
Yeah, all of them are doing. And my guess is he's got a little bit lower ball flight anyway, right? Because he goes with the 10 degree driver, and it's not like it's 10 degree turned down. It's looks like it's 10 degrees. And then he goes with the 4 wood, 7 wood combo, which is a nice little combo. And
Well,
then
you just have to hit fairways on tour. That's how hard and firm the fairways typically are. So it doesn't matter if you have 400 extra RPM off the driver.
not really. It's usually gonna
But
bounce. I mean, there's some that are a little bit there because I mean, for the week, and it must have been a little bit softer. He only averaged 293 for the week.
yeah, it is a little
Wow.
bit softer. I mean, that's California weather on the coast. It's going to stay pretty dense air.
Well,
So,
and I mean, they about floated off into the ocean, so.
yeah, they had a stint. These last two tournaments, like the Amex out in Palm Desert, and then this one, and even Pebble next week, they've caught this little gap of just great weather. It's probably going to be the best weather they've ever
Yeah.
had.
But it's,
But
yeah, trying it
yeah,
out
they
is
almost washed away.
sure.
Yeah, but rounding out his bag, Max has got a T100S 4 iron and a T100 5 iron. I love that he does that.
Yeah.
And then he's got blades 6 through 9 in his scoring clubs. And then just beautiful new Vokey wedges made
Yeah.
by Aaron Dill himself. And the thing that makes his wedges a little bit more unique than the rest is they're all stamped with letters signifying the club instead
Yes.
of actual degrees of loft. That's pretty
Yeah.
funny, but yeah,
And
it's PGSL right through
yeah. And he just
the
and he does that. And it's like I said, the nice thing about it is he can get a blank wedge that doesn't have anything stamped on it. And they can do whatever they want at that point.
Yep. Yeah,
So
it's pretty wild. So he's got beautiful new wedges, but their formation, he actually plays the most F grinds of all the wedge players that I've ever seen.
yeah, he goes through, and I mean, obviously, you're 46 and 50. You're gonna. That's the only grind they come in is
Yeah,
the F
the
grind.
F grind.
They'll do a higher and lower loft, so, or a higher and lower degree of bounce in some of those. But then, yeah, a lot of guys do
Yeah.
not go with the F grind in the 56.
That's
He
true.
does.
He does. I see a lot go with the S. I feel like the
Yep.
S is a nice
The
middle
S is
ground.
a yep.
But he goes full blown. And the reason I think he does this, because he's comfortable not changing his wedges through the tour stops, because that 56 F grind is going to be the best thing in his bag when he hits like the Florida swing. But that L grind in the 60, I mean, that's a tight wedge.
That
It's
is a tie wedge.
I'd say it's probably like maybe fourth on like the scale of hardness to maneuver when it comes to Vokey wedges.
Right.
For the first being the A grind, if you know what that is, it's nasty. And then the second is the T grind. And we all know the T is just the devil. And then I'd say L, you know, third, maybe the low bounce K, but that's even
Hey.
a little bit more forgiving.
Right.
So
But yeah, it's a good setup in there. They're obviously new wedge daddies for this one. And then he's just got his X Phantom X 5.5
yeah,
or
and a fun
Proto.
fact, Mr. Homa was the first player to use a Phantom putter to win on the PGA Tour. A Phantom X. Let's sit, make sure we identify that correctly. A Phantom X putter.
Before the JT.
So that was not, technically, it's now
It's
in the
not.
Phantom X line, but
Yeah, it
it was
technically
not,
wasn't at that time.
yeah, it wasn't at that time, but it's around the nomenclature, and we're very
Right.
accurate here. But there's another player that used Vokey wedges to win over
Ooh.
across the pond. Wait, what?
This one, what? Wait. Wait. I thought Rory won in Dubai.
Oh, he
Oh,
did.
wait,
He
he
did.
did. But Mr. McIlroy snuck in some Vokey wedges, SM9s,
Oh
baby.
yeah. Yeah, some nice, beautiful raw Vokes. Yeah, rounding out the bag, he was dabbling in the Stealth 2 for his media shoots, but when push came to shove, he
Oh,
went back
wait.
to the Stealth
So
1.0 plus.
wait, I thought the Stealth 2 had forgiveness.
It did have forgiveness
Forgiveness.
in an Irish accent,
Yeah.
but it did not have Rory giveness. And so it was replaced with the Stealth Plus. And then he did keep the Stealth 2 plus 3 wood,
Three wood.
which is,
Yep.
yeah, that the
But
thing's a
then he went
bomber.
back. Yeah, but then he went back to the Stealth
Yeah.
Plus original,
Yeah.
in the 5 wood.
Yeah, and the 5 wood. So he's dabbling. And then he's obviously got his TaylorMade Roars Protos that he's been playing ever since he joined the team.
Yes. But with one exception, he added a pitching wedge to
He
the Roars
did.
Proto line instead of his
Yeah.
normal 46-degree wedge in
From
there.
like an MG3
Yeah.
lineup or something. Yeah. So yeah, he's playing the set pitching wedge. And then yeah, traded out his MG3s for a 54 degree 10S
Yep.
SM9 bent to 55. And then he put in a very unique low bounce K This one is what I, you know, fondly refer to as the JT grind.
Yeah.
So JT got this wedge grinder made around the time that there was a lot of media coming out that JT was practicing with Tiger and Charlie a lot. And the word on the street, I can't like name any sources, but the word on the street was that JT had tested out some of Tiger's wedges, and there were some unique features to Tiger's wedges that he wanted to incorporate into his lineup. And one of those is a pre-worn leading edge, and you'll see those on the TW MG3s. So anyways, he told Voke, and they went, the team went to work on a K grind and turned it into a pre-worn leading edge with some bounce and then some heel and trailing edge relief to create this triple grind sole. Beautiful. And the only two people that play it in the world are JT and Rory, and probably the only two people that can actually get it. But
this is probably true. Yeah. If you want to do this, you're going to have to make your own, folks. Or have an in.
It might.
I mean, my guess is because Wedgeworks is really good, you can actually go in and customize, because you can get, so you can design it.
Yeah. Right?
You can go, okay, I want this low bounce K with trailing edge relief, heel relief, pre-worn lead edge. So you can get it, but you have to go in and specifically request it exactly. And my guess is theirs is a little bit more, right? You're gonna get the basic rear, you know, back edge relief. You need the basic heel relief. So it's not going to be exactly, and the fading in and out is going to be a little bit different than theirs, but you can get something similar. You just have to know where to look and know what to ask for.
And looking at this, I mean, my brain says this is actually the high bounce K.
Is it? Did he go the high? He go the high bounce and then take it off.
And then they take it off. Yeah. And just because usually the low bounce Ks are, I think, are in a wedge work style versus an SM9. So that could be it. But
yes, this is true. But didn't you say? Let's see.
Oh no, it is Wedgeworks design. There's a WW.
It is, because it's I was like, I thought when I saw it, it was because it has the proto stamp on it, right?
And it is a proto. They've got a BV proto with a 9 stamped on there.
Yeah.
The 9 actually being for the version SM9, but it probably is the low bounce model from what it looks like aesthetically, and then they got all that relief in there, so pretty killer wedge.
Yep. So like I said, it's a good one, but it's a little telling that he took that out.
Well, it's crazy. Throw on. Think about it. If I'm getting paid X millions from TaylorMade, and I'm like, yeah, let's work on these wedges, and you go through wedge variation this, wedge variation that, and you just don't find what you need, right. And then you take a little vacay over to the UK and you stop by the Titleist tour truck and you say, hey, can you whip me out a couple of wedges? Yeah, sure. Here you go. Thanks. Oh, by the way, I'm going to win this week. that kind of like, it's not like happenstance. Like the dude needed something and Titleist delivered.
But I don't think he just happenstanced upon these, because if you look at that wedge, it's got some rust already going in it. So it wasn't that he
It's
just
had some reps.
it's had some work, right? He's put some
Yeah.
work in on these. So my guess is he's had these for a little while. And he had to do something with Taylor. My guess, and all of them do it. But he's like, okay, I've got 14 clubs in my, or I've got a 12 club deal. I've got two to play with,
Yeah.
right? And so until now, and we'll see when he comes back over, and if he wins another one, whether he's got keeps the
Yeah.
Vokies in his bag.
It's really interesting. But this kind of tells you why Vokies are Vokies, and that's all you could say.
They do pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. Like I said, we've got kind of hit and giggle week at the AT&T. All right, there's a lot of extracurricular that goes on because of the pro-am stuff. And until the last
Yep.
day, but Pebble, so we'll watch a lot. I'll watch a little bit of it. Hopefully, I won't watch too much. I don't know. Yeah, there's no football because you got the Pro Bowl, so which is flag football, and so we'll see how that goes. But I'll be at a wrestling tournament for Friday and Saturday, so
Oh.
I won't watch much of that. Hopefully, my boy can kick some butt and qualify for state. So we'll
There
see.
you go.
But yeah, other than that, I will be playing some golf next week,
Oh.
which is good. Getting the tournament going again. So we'll see how the mind gets itself wrapped around what I've been working on in the winter. There has
Yeah.
been quite a bit of snow.
Oh.
And it's been cold. It's cold. It's like there's people that are. Yeah, it's like single digits when we woke up
Yeah.
this morning
It
and
was
when we woke up
nine
tomorrow.
degrees. Yeah,
I
nine
think it was
degrees today.
up here it was, I think, seven. It was what it said on my car thermostat when we were driving
Yeah.
to the gym this morning. So it's cold. So obviously not a lot of outdoor play, and so just been working on some things with the swing, little stuff inside and a little bit of stuff with the Sims. So we will see what happens next week. Nice thing about it
Truth.
is this tournament, it's a section tournament, so the first round is a scramble tournament, so you get to kind of get your feet under you a little bit, and I'll be playing the day before, just as a warm up round and practice round. So it'll be good to
Nice.
be out of the snow, not necessarily out of the cold, since it's like mid-40s to low 50s is the high down there next week, is what it's supposed to be. So it'll still be cold, but it'll be golf, and that will be fun. Any more 55s, by the way, with your
Oh, digital golf.
lights go Mevo
I
less.
actually had some really good ball striking rounds, and I did have a 56, three 58s, and 260s.
That's just ridiculous, but
It
like I said,
is.
it gives you reps,
It
and
gives
you're
you
like,
reps.
okay, I'm hitting good shots.
Yeah.
Right.
Ultimately, I've just been like doing a lot of testing, figured
Right.
something out last night with my swing, which was really nice. And so I'm hitting really good iron shots and hitting my fairway woods really well. I feel like this next year will be actually pretty solid for golf.
That's the goal. That's what we want.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, everybody, Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. And until next time, we are out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.